At the end of the 16th century, the Kingdom of Muscovy embarked on a program of conquest that became known as the Gathering of the Lands. This territorial expansion surged into the power vacuum left by the decline of the Mongol Golden Horde, a confederation of nomadic and semi-nomadic tribes that had ruled the territory stretching from western Siberia to Moscow since the 13th century, but had more recently fragmented into separate khanates. In 1582, a Cossack adventurer named Yermak Timofeyevich crossed the Urals with an army of several hundred men in an audacious raid on the waning power of the Siberian Mongol leader Kuchim Khan. After a victorious battle in western Siberia, Yermak briefly established a toehold east of the Urals and claimed the lands in the name of Ivan the Terrible. Although his own victory proved short-lived, the Cossack leader drowned only 3 years later while escaping a Tatar ambush, the gateway to Siberia that Yermak ripped open would never close. The Russians continued their raids across the Urals. Kuchim Khan died in battle by the River Ob in 1598, and the Siberian Khanate collapsed. Thereafter, the Russian advance into Siberia was inexorable. A motley collection of Muscovite emissaries, regular soldiers, foreign mercenaries, traders, and émigré Cossacks from the Don and Dnieper regions of southwest Russia pushed further and further east along the Irtysh and Ob rivers and their tributaries. They established forts that served as nodal points for the projection of military power and for the collection of tribute from Siberia's native tribes. The town of Tumen was established in 1586 and Tobolsk was founded the following year. By 1600, Muscovy's forces had claimed all of the territory between the Urals and the River Ob and were driving further eastwards towards the next great Siberian waterway, the Yenisei River, 1,600 kilometers away. Further conquest followed. Mangazeya was founded in 1601, Tomsk in 1604. By 1630, there were some 50 fortified villages in western Siberia, and the Russians had built outposts in Yeniseisk and Krasnoyarsk on the banks of the Yenisei. Just 12 years later, they had crossed the last of Siberia's great south-north trunk rivers, the Lena, and had established a presence in Yakutsk that would eventually provide access to the desolate exile settlements in the Arctic Circle. By 1649, they had reached the shores of the northern Pacific and founded the port of Okhotsk. 9 years later, they had advanced a further 2,000 kilometers and were on the shores of the Bering Strait, less than 160 kilometers from Alaska's Cape Prince of Wales. It is in Russia's conquest and colonization of the continent to its east that the origins of the exile system are to be found. Russia's rapid expansion was driven by Moscow's growing military strength, logistical capacities, and administrative sophistication, but it also created a persistent shortage of laborers, farmers, and traders in Siberia's remote and sprawling territories. From its earliest recorded instances, exile enabled the Tsars not only to banish their unruly subjects from European Russia, but also to press them into service as settlers and penal laborers at various strategic locations across Siberia. Exile emerged under the auspices of this wider expansionist project. Punishment and colonization became intertwined. The continent the Russians conquered stretches 8,000 kilometers from the Urals to the Pacific and 3,200 kilometers from the Arctic Circle to the Mongolian border. The Yenisei River forms a natural border between western and eastern Siberia, which differs significantly in topography. With the exception of the Altai Mountains, western Siberia has a low elevation and flat open landscapes. An abundance of rivers flows into its spongy soil, creating marshlands that flood each spring. Eastern Siberia and the Russian Far East are far more diverse. A combination of rugged mountain ranges, deep gorges, thick forests, and marshy lowlands. At the heart of eastern Siberia, the ground plunges into Lake Baikal, the world's largest and deepest freshwater lake. Baikal's surface, which freezes over each winter, spans some 32,000 square kilometers. Contrary to popular perception, Siberia is not enveloped in ice and snow year-round. The permafrost landscape of the tundra exists only above the 60th parallel, a latitude which runs through Sweden and Alaska. In fact, most of Siberia is covered by the taiga, a dense belt of coniferous and deciduous forests between 1,000 and 2,000 kilometers wide. South of the taiga lies the steppe, a flat, treeless territory of grasslands and deserts. The majority of Siberians live below the 60th parallel in climates similar to those in which Europeans live. Summer temperatures in most Siberian towns and cities, which actually lie further south than Moscow, can easily climb high into the 30s degrees Celsius, but the winters in this most continental of climates are ferocious. Temperatures frequently plunge below zero in September and reach minus 20 degrees Celsius by December, though a bone-chilling minus 30 to minus 40 degrees Celsius is not uncommon. They begin to climb above zero again only in late spring.